Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McKellen. Today we're talking about resources for blind and visually impaired college students. These resources help this unique group of students succeed at the school of their choice. Talking with us about the resources by phone is Nicole Bond. She's the director of the Disability Program and Resource Center, or DPRC, at San Francisco State University in California. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Nicole, let's get to know you a little more. What is your role as the director of the DPRC?
Sure. So I oversee services for students, faculty and staff with disabilities, and also electronic access and compliance for the university for all people with disabilities. Been in the field for about 17 years and have been at San Francisco State since 2008. And it's a great place to be for students with disabilities, especially students who are blind or low vision.
So let's talk more about the Disability Programs and Resource Center. What's the mission of that center?
So what we do is we collaborate with the community to make sure that all of the aspects of campus life, so living, working, and learning, are accessible to everyone. And in order to do this, we provide the university with resources, education, direct services, and accommodations to make sure that people with disabilities have a greater opportunity to achieve social justice and equity. For us, access for students with disabilities is a social justice issue.
And can you define what social justice is for our listeners?
Sure. So, well, the way that I like to think about it is that we're here and we're providing access because of civil rights legislation, and we want to make sure that all people, including people with disabilities, have an equal opportunity to succeed. And in providing that opportunity is a matter of justice, access and justice.
I see. So let's talk about the history of disabled student services. Why don't you give us a brief history of the DPRC?
So the DPRC has been around in some form since the 70s, and then with the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990, San Francisco State, along with many colleges and universities, then formalized their procedures so that we had opportunity to provide access and accommodation for everyone. And then in the early 2000s, our office merged services, so student services, employee services, and electronic access and compliance services were all together in one department. So we have a centralized access mission here at San Francisco State.
Now we're going to get more into those services in a little bit, because I was an alumnus of San Francisco State myself, and I have first-hand knowledge of the DPRC and the services it provides for blind and visually impaired students. When I was at SF State, one thing that I valued was classroom accommodations. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the accommodations that DPRC offers?
Sure. So specifically for blind and low vision students, we often offer materials in electronic format or Braille, hardware and software, screen reading and magnification programs for your computer, extended time on exams for some students, accessible exams, obviously, if that's what's required. Note-taking services are often provided, and mobility orientation to the campus is also something that's commonly used for students who are blind or low vision. Those are just some examples, but all accommodations are individualized, so we really work with the students to see what do you need in order to succeed here, and we go from there.
And how do the accommodations help students succeed in school?
So these accommodations are put in place to make sure, as I was talking earlier, to that all students have equal opportunities to succeed. So there's sometimes a perception out there that accommodations like these are some sort of special treatment or an unfair advantage, but no, what we're really doing is providing equal access so that students have an opportunity to succeed, have the same access that all students have to their course materials, and be the best student that they can be.
Absolutely. And so one of the accommodations, as you were talking about earlier, the DPRC has this whole area to make textbooks and other materials, classroom materials, accessible for the blind. What's the procedure that students may need to follow in order to receive these materials?
Students first register with our office, which requires filling out an intake and registration form, which you can do electronically. And then oftentimes with blind and low vision students, we can visually verify your disability. In some cases, we ask for a little bit of documentation from a medical professional to get a little bit more information, but that's less common than a visual verification from one of our staff. And then once you go through the intake appointment, you state your format preference for materials. So say you would like to use JAWS and have all your materials be provided in a Microsoft Word format, then we work with our accessible media department within the DPRC to make sure that that happens.
You were talking about an intake appointment. So you fill out the intake form, then you meet with a DPRC counselor, correct?
Right.
And when you meet with that DPRC counselor, you do discuss your eye history, especially your visual acuity. Then you also discuss the services you need. And what other things are discussed at those appointments?
So what we really want to focus on in the appointments, especially in light of the ADA as it was recently amended, is really about what do you think as a student you need to succeed academically in college. So deference kind of is moving away from medical documentation and back to the student. So we really spend a lot of time really getting to know you and or helping you know what options are available to you as a student if you've never used accommodations and services before. What we also do in those appointments is talk about things like how to best navigate the other procedures that you need to do as a student, like requesting financial aid or working with a tutoring referral. So we really spend time making sure that you have all of the resources available to you that that all students would have. So we talked about your accommodations and needs as a student, and then also really anything else that you would need as a student to know about in order to succeed here.
So explain some of the other forms that future clients and current clients of the DPRC have to fill out.
Sure. So as I was mentioning, we have an intake and registration form, and then we try to not do too many forms, but there are some things that, of course, we need to track information, right? So if you're using accessible media, let's say, so electronic textbooks and course materials, then we have an electronic request form that students fill out every semester that lets us know what books you'll be using and what materials you need converted for your courses. And then if you need to update your reasonable accommodation letter that you would get from your intake specialist or counselor, then there's a form that you do once a year to make sure that those letters get back to you so you can provide them to your faculty. But that's about it in terms of kind of forms and paperwork. We really do try to keep it at a minimum.
Okay, so one of the important skills that students have to learn before they attend college, especially the blind and visually impaired students, is self-advocacy. What is self-advocacy, and how are our listeners going to have to utilize that in the classroom?
Okay, so in my mind, what self-advocacy is about first understanding what you need in order to succeed as a person, and then knowing how you can go about asking for it. So one of the things that's a little bit different as you're going from high school to college is that in the high school settings, oftentimes the teachers and instructors will provide things on your behalf. When you get to the university level, though, students are expected to be able to ask for what they need in the event that they need an accommodation. You may find that some things are already in place because the course is designed in such a way that you don't need to request accommodations. But in the event that you do need extra time on an exam or materials conversion, then you would need to self-advocate. That means ask on your own without the help of another teacher or a parent. So that's what's a little bit different at the college level. But most students, once they get the hang of it, are very good at it and appreciate that opportunity to come into their own in terms of asking for what they need.
One of the other things that students learn in college to prepare themselves for the workforce are interpersonal skills. How did the students learn interpersonal communication skills while they're in college?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that learning how to request accommodations and support is one of the best ways that can prepare you for enhancing your interpersonal skills and then being ready for the workforce. Because once you know how to ask for what you need, and you have also in your toolbox all of the different accessibility options that are available to you, and you can speak about them, then you're able to then articulate that in a job, in a workforce setting, in such a way that I think students find it easier when they're transitioning to be able to work with their employer to get accommodations on the job once they know what's available to them. So the very act of registering with an office like ours and learning how to ask for what you need and learning how to talk with your faculty about ways that they can make the course even more accessible is one of the best ways to learn those interpersonal skills. It's really, it's kind of trial by fire, as they say. But then after a while, it really becomes second nature for most people, I think, and they're able to use that to their advantage in the employment setting.
Now, let's talk about the commitment to college. I remember going to college and spending tons and tons and tons and tons of time on homework, readings, reviewing notes, and doing long projects. How might the DPRC help their students prepare for these challenges?
I think that what you express is not uncommon for any college student. Most students find that the amount of work and the amount of reading is really a lot more than they're used to. I think one of the things that we do when we work with blind and low vision students, when they ask for it, is sometimes folks learn that they need to maybe take a class or two less in the very beginning until you're used to the amount of reading, and then maybe then going up to a full-time course load. So that's also not uncommon. Sometimes we work with students to kind of help figure out what the best course load is for them, the best kind of class recommendations, that kind of thing. That's the biggest way that we can help facilitate that. And then also referring to tutoring and other support. But it can be tricky in the beginning to get a sense of, okay, how much reading is can I handle, and how much is a little bit too much, especially in the beginning. So we can help students work through that.
Yes, and how do you help students, though, who have to take, like if they live in the dorms and they're required to take a certain number of units, how do you help students cope with that?
Well, I think that in the same way that we do with any student, which is, again, if they need additional accommodation and support in order to get through that, then we would definitely provide that. Sometimes, too, we will work with students to, you know, set them up with other peers and mentors that have been through the same kind of experience, so that there's someone else that you can talk to. Because it can be a lot in the beginning, but most students are able to succeed quite well.
All right, so let's get back onto the classroom accommodations a little bit more. How do students get extended time on tests? Isn't there a special form they have to fill out?
We're transitioning that process where the faculty and the students work on the exam request times together. But as it happens right now, just as you would with an accessible media accommodation, you let us know what your exam dates are, and then we confirm those exam dates with the faculty member, and then we set up those exams for you if you need to use extended time or specialized software in order to take those exams. So we do have a process, but it's collaborative between the faculty and the student. And in some cases, the faculty member is able to accommodate the exam without going through DPRC. So then if that's the case, then it's arranged between the student and the faculty member. So it just depends on what the exact accommodation is that needs to be provided, and also what's available in terms of the faculty member being able to assist with that.
And speaking of which, how about note takers? How do the students get paired up with note takers for their classes?
So there's a couple ways that we can do that. So if you need a note taker for your course, one thing that we can do is we can send a notification to the class list letting the student know that, or the class know that there's a student in the course that could use a note taker, and then we get responses, and then we hire students to be note takers if they'd like to get paid to do that, although some students choose to volunteer. And then the other way that we can go about doing that is we have a certain number of students who we have on a list who like to be note takers to come in the classroom to take notes. So students can choose from a list of note takers that have expressed interest, and then choose themselves who they'd like to use as a note taker. Although most of the time these days we're really using students who are already enrolled in the same courses that you are as a student.
Say if you have somebody who wants to become a note taker, or help administer the test accommodations? How do they apply to do these activities?
Okay, so they come into our office, and then we have an application for student assistance. Most of the time we're using students, other student peers in these jobs. So they can fill out a student assistant application, and then they go through an interview with our access assistance coordinator, and then they're placed in positions that we have open. So sometimes those are note-taking positions, sometimes they're proctoring positions, but we're looking for qualified student employees often. So you can come in any time and express interest in the kind of job that you'd like, and then if you're chosen as a qualified person to do that, then you'll go through a payroll orientation with our office, and then you're on student staff with us. So we rely very heavily on our student assistant support to make sure that we're providing these accommodations.
So the DPRC also offers other services for faculty and staff. What are those services?
So the accommodations for faculty and staff are very similar to student accommodations, but they apply to the specific jobs or positions that faculty and staff have. So blind and low vision faculty and staff would likely be eligible for the same kinds of accommodations that the students are that I talked of earlier. Occasionally, faculty and staff are also asking for things like an ergonomic evaluation and assessment. A little bit less frequently, faculty and staff ask for things around a job modification different kind of work schedule that works a little bit better with their needs based on the nature of their disability. But every accommodation, as with student accommodations, are individualized and based on what the employee is asking for, and then is reviewed. This is reviewed in conjunction with the employee's position description, so we can see the accommodations that would best meet that person's needs.
So the blind and visually impaired who want to go to school, of course, this is a national program, speaking out for the blind. And the blind all over the country, they would want to learn about a lot of schools as different disabled student services. Are there any sort of online review websites or services they can look at?
You know, besides what is often offered through the Pearson organization, I'm not familiar with any kind of national clearinghouse for that kind of thing. But what I find that most students do is they really learn through programs like this one and through word of mouth, the kind of different comprehensive services that that are available. And I think San Francisco State is lucky to have as many blind and low vision students as we do have. And I think that one of the reasons for that is because San Francisco State is very committed to electronic access and accommodation all the way up to our president. And we're known for that. And so students choose to apply and come here. And we're very proud of that. And we want to continue that mission for everyone.
What advice do you have for new blind and visually impaired college students?
My best piece of advice is to research a good fit for you. And really take some time to do that. Are you going to be the kind of person that wants to be at an institution with 30,000 other students, or are you kind of are the person who wants to be at a smaller school with good access? So that's the biggest thing. I think that students, I think at the high school level could maybe take more time to do is to really think about what is it that I want out of my college experience and what kind of environment excites me. You know, a lot of students really want to be among a lot of other students, and there are other students that like a smaller kind of environment. So thinking about size and then really call the individual offices, talk to disability counselors, talk to disability directors, talk to accessible media providers in those offices, and see what kind of services that they offer, and how available they are to speak to you. I think that that's a good sign too. In my experience, most of my colleagues are more than happy to talk to prospective students about that kind of thing, so we can make sure that it's a good fit for everybody.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I want to say thanks for taking the time to really talk about and expose all the different kinds of services that are available for blind and low vision students. I think that it's not talked about enough, even today. And so having the opportunity to really talk in detail about what's available for students is a very exciting thing to do. So thanks for the opportunity for me to do that.
Yes, and thanks for joining us today. This is definitely awesome information for our prospective blind and visually impaired college students. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out. ACB Radio.